Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is written in John chapter 15, the first 8 verses, and we will reread the text. Let us rise. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Your fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. Of course, Jesus lived in an agrarian society, especially by comparison to us. People even who lived in the big cities had a pretty good understanding of the cultivation of crops and the management of herds and of flocks. And it's therefore not surprising that over and over again, Jesus used illustrations from agriculture. And of course, that includes this one today. What Jesus is illustrating here is something that is going on in your life. And he is illustrating for you the way it is that God does his work through you. God's work in your life, God's work in the lives of other people as well, those around you. It's just one aspect of this whole relationship that we have with God that Paul summarizes in Ephesians 2:8 when he says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So you notice the hymn we just sang talked about election, talking about how God chose us. He gave us life. And how he continues to give us life, just as the vine does to the branch. From the beginning, God set out to redeem the world, to buy all of us back from sin, death, and the devil. With his life and his death and his resurrection, Jesus provided innocence and righteousness for the world. God reaches out into the world through his word, and he offers and gives this righteousness and innocence to the world. And through it, he works also the gift of faith and spiritual life by which we take hold of these gifts. And of course, that we then continue to draw this spiritual life from Christ through his word. Through his word, the life of Christ comes to us, works through us, enlivens us, keeps us alive. And so we live and we grow and we flourish like branches on a vine. Now, the best thing about this is that as Jesus is talking to us as believers, we're already alive. You're already part of the vine. And you don't get to decide, I think I'll become part of the vine. Life doesn't come to us that way. Life is given to us as a gift. And so likewise, we find ourselves already on the vine. That's not a choice that we make. As a believer in Christ, you've been baptized, you've been born again, and so you're righteous in God's eyes. As our text says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You're already, he's pointing out that being part of this vine means also this righteousness that he had been talking about. So we don't have to go through life wondering if the fruits of our Christian faith are somehow good enough to win God's love, or that we might somehow receive his reluctant approval if we just bring forth enough fruit. Now, it's already taken care of in that we are part of the vine itself. You know, the question I bring up from time to time, probably you've got it memorized by now, and that's where I ask you, knowing what God knows about you really, knowing what goes on inside that head of yours, knowing what goes on in the secret moments in your life, what does God really, really think of you? And of course, the impulse is to say, well, he knows I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Well, yes, he knows that as well, but he knows something else because he's decreed it himself. He knows your faith. And he knows that in seeing our faith, he sees what our faith takes hold of, namely the righteousness of Christ. So looking at you, knowing everything about you as he does, including your faith, he looks upon you as a righteous child. He looks upon you as one who receives his approval, one whom he loves. So this is what it means to be already on the vine. Just as the life of the vine comes up from the roots, through the trunk, through the stem, out the branches, where finally the leaves gather sunlight and bring forth buds and flowers and then fruit, so God gives you life through the way, he gives you life through his word. As Jesus says, the word I've spoken to you. And this life shows in the way you honor him and are a blessing to others. Fruit's never invisible, after all. But fruit shows. Your fruit as a Christian shows in the way you honor your Savior, in the way you are his blessing to other people. On every grapevine, there are a number of different kinds of branches. And, of course, it's grapevines that Jesus is using as a picture. And it's interesting how detailed this illustration is. It isn't just vine and branches. I mean, he gets into the kinds of branches. I never would have known that there were so many different kinds of branches until the pruner, the orchardist, was giving us a lesson. So every berry vine, every fruit tree, every grapevine has also useless branches. And as I referred to them earlier, we call them suckers. These are absolutely useless branches, and you want to get rid of them because the strength that would otherwise go into the fruit goes into these branches, and so they are of no use at all. If you go by an orchard in eastern Washington, you'll see all these branches stacked up, look like a big haystack, because they're not the big trunks, they're just the little branches, and they've been cut off literally by the thousand, and they're stacked up, and eventually they're just going to be burned to get rid of them. And Jesus uses these also in our illustration here. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So there are people who use the name of Christ, may even say they're Christians, who don't bring forth any of the fruits of faith. Well, they may be vaguely spiritual, and they may use lots of God words, and they may have, well, guaranteed, they're going to have religious opinions. Whether they bear any resemblance to the Bible or not remain, you know, probably not. But they do not honor Christ with their worship, nor are they inclined to honor him in their life, nor do they honor him, nor are they a blessing to others by showing grace toward others, the unmerited love of Christ toward others. And so as a result, we'd say they have no saving faith. And they're going to be cut out. They're going to be removed. The posers never really last. Now, maybe they're going to be dropped from the church rolls with a plea that they see the situation they're in. They see their spiritual bankruptcy. They repent and return. Maybe they just stay on the rolls, stay on the church list, because nobody can bear to admit that their public neglect of the word, their public neglect of the worship of Christ shows them to be sterile branches. And sometimes, of course, we won't even know who they are because we can't tell the difference from one heart to another. But surely on the last day, these branches are completely and eternally cut off from the vine and are alone. And Jesus says they're burnt up. But there are branches also. And the orchardist showed me how to tell. There are branches that have buds and flowers that actually bear fruit. They have buds and flowers and fruit coming on, and those branches, they're also supposed to be pruned. A vine dresser needs skill to remove the parts of the branch, the little sprigs and twigs that are weak. And so they'll leave the stronger parts to grow and to bear fruit. As Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As believers, as the branches that bear fruit, you're fruitful branches. You honor God in your life. You're a blessing to others, often in ways you don't even know. And God prunes you. Of course, I think it's easy to say that's a picture of adversity. He cuts things out of your life that keep you from bringing forth the best fruit. And it may be friends. It may be other influences. It may be weaknesses that war against your faith. It may be the riches and pleasures of life that could very easily distract and entwine you so that you end up losing your faith. And we'd count these as adverse, as bad to lose those pleasures and riches, and yet it's a good thing that we are pruned in our lives so that we bring forth real fruit. But as Jesus also emphasizes here, the most important thing, and another reason for that pruning, is to make sure that we remain attached to Jesus. The way that you remain attached to Jesus is how? It's through the word that he has spoken to you. It's through the word that we find in the Bible. It's through the word that is proclaimed here. Things that interfere with his word very often are pruned away so that we'll remain faithful to him. And of course, the fact is, it's through the church, isn't it, that we especially hear this word. You know, it's not to say that we, you know, if we're lost on a desert island and have a Bible with us, that we don't have God's word. It's not to say that if our life is so torn up that we don't make it here on Sunday morning, that we can't hear his word. But this is the way that God has called us together. Don't give up meeting together, he says. This is the way we're called together so that he can feed us. It isn't exactly right to say that to remain on the vine, you have to be in the pew, but that's the way it works most of the time. To be on the vine is above all to be in the Word. Someone once expressed amazement that Lutherans talk about forgiveness in every sermon. Well, first, we don't just talk about it. We proclaim it. I don't just talk about what forgiveness is and what it looks like and how nice it is. I announce to you through the words of Jesus himself, you are forgiven. Because Jesus says that those who are in the vine are clean, I can tell you as believers, you are forgiven. So in Christ, we give forgiveness. After all, every Sunday I hear you pray the Lord's Prayer. What do you pray? Forgive us our trespasses. You know, I'm going to be stingy with that forgiveness. You ask for it, my job to give it to you. As God gives it to you in his word, wherever his gospel is proclaimed faithfully. But why so often? Why so often? Because it's the promise that our faith rests in. And our faith is strengthened as that promise is renewed. It's the source of our life. I don't think that we think branches only need to be occasionally attached to the vine in order to gain strength from the vine. It needs to be a permanent, ongoing attraction. So the life we live as Christians is not the source of our life. That would be kind of silly. It's the result of Christ's life and Christ giving us his life through his word. Just as the fruit doesn't give life to the branch, but the branch attached to the vine is what brings forth the fruit. And that's the point. That's a basic point of Jesus' words here, isn't it? You mustn't become separated from Christ, or you lose your faith, you lose your life, and you're no longer clean because you're disconnected from the forgiveness that Christ gives. So Jesus says, abide in me. What does abide mean? It means to stay, to be anchored there. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. A person separated from Christ and his word doesn't live his life in forgiveness. And whatever they do is not done out of love and faith. And so there's no righteousness in it. There's no honoring of Christ. Any blessing toward others just happens to be incidental, because God can use unbelievers to accomplish good things in the world as well. So the Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So those who don't abide in Christ and his word are like branches separated from the vine, worthless and withered and eventually burned as their soul is cast off into eternal aloneness. So, dear friends, yeah, I'm pleading. Abide in Christ. Live in his word. Cherish his mercy and his forgiveness. Then you will be fruitful. It isn't the fruit that's going to make you important to Jesus. You're already important to him. But it's being connected to him that brings forth fruit. And what does that mean, that we bring forth fruit? Well, how about for starters, Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anybody use more of those in their lives? I could. Could you use more of these? These are yours for the asking. It's sort of like that common sentiment that isn't so true. You can be anything you want to be. Anyone ever heard that? Guess what? I'm never going to make it to 7 feet, and I'm never going to play in the NBA. Okay? But the promises of God are way better than the pseudo-optimistic people in our lives. Jesus says in our text, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You're already part of the vine, you're already clean, you already bring forth fruit, but as the words of Christ dwell in you, as the life of Christ comes to you, and through you, and nourishes you, and strengthens your life, you bring forth more and more fruit. What words of Christ? That's also another thing. Jesus is speaking of the words of the gospel. Now, if I were to just come to you, or anybody, and say, listen, you, I want to see more love out of you. I want to see some joy now. And anyone ever been told to be joyful? I have, and I tried. But you can't just manufacture feelings. Be good, be kind, be faithful, be gentle. And I want you to put up with the weaknesses of other people. Long suffering, and control yourself. Now, those words may tell us what indeed we would love to have in our lives, but those words don't have the power to give us what they call for. But Jesus does. Life comes through the gospel. That's his assurance of God's love for you. The promise that God does not deal with you in anger. His declaration that the person next to you, yeah, you can be more long-suffering of the person next to you, because that person next to you is someone whom Christ himself has saved from sin and death and given life. This word of Christ is what gives rise to the fruitfulness of the Christian life. In loving because we are loved. In the joy of the rescue from this veil of tears. In peace and in quietness of our consciences. How do I get peace? By convincing myself I'm perfect? By Christ telling me I'm forgiven. Today we face a lot of challenges to our faith, people. We really do. And it's not going to get easier. Our faith isn't just a list of to-dos and to-don'ts, as though we just have to, you know, we have to be the good people in this society and tell all the bad people how bad they are. We do have to uphold what's right. But if we don't tell people of the grace of God and we call them to repentance, to turn away from sin, where in the world do they have to go? When I acknowledge what a rotten sinner I am, my only hope is that turning my back on myself even, that I get to go to Christ, who is merciful and gracious. And so in this world that has a crisis of faith, we proclaim forgiveness from Christ, won on the cross, as he took our sins to the tomb and rose to declare us righteous and innocent before God. So what do? To remain in the faith in these difficult times, stay firmly grafted in the vine. As Paul says to the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So may it be. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.